This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Inside Story. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we start a new week together, and I want to come to a subject that is right at the very heart of our society today. The subject of living with authority, coping with authority. I'd put it to you this way, that God's will for us is that we discover freedom under authority. One of the ancient prayers of the Christian church has a phrase in it that God's service is perfect freedom. God's service, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't a matter of finding our personalities crushed and beaten down, but exactly the opposite. We discover what we were made to be, what we long to be, as a matter of fact. We discover perfect freedom in obeying God. That's really good news. But you know, the Lord Jesus deals with us most of the time through the human beings, through the human authorities that surround us. And most psychologists, I think, would be in basic agreement that the most important single factor in total well-being is learning to cope with authority. It seems as if our generation is finding that so very difficult. We're a generation of rebels. We're like the folks in the ancient days of Israel when there was no king, and it said every man did his own thing. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. We each decide for ourselves what's right, and we go off following that, and we find ourselves so often in conflict with authority relationships. As I've studied this subject at great length over the last several years, a pattern has emerged, and I want to share that this week. It seems to me that the New Testament outlines five basic authority relationships. Everybody finds himself in most of these, and some of us find ourselves in all of them. Five basic human relationships that touch our lives, and those relationships are all authority relationships. The first is parent-child. There isn't anybody who has ever lived that isn't born into a parent-child relationship. Like it or not, that's an authority relationship. Most folks end up going into a second relationship as they move into adulthood, a relationship of husband and wife. And again, like it or not, that is an authority relationship. Everybody finds himself in a third relationship, the relationship between the state or the government and its citizens. Some governments are very oppressive, some are far more democratic, but there are some principles which apply in either case to the state-citizen relationship. Most everybody at some point in his or her life finds himself in a relationship of employer to employee, where on one end or the other, maybe both, we may have some people to whom we're responsible, and it may be that there are others who are responsible to us, the employer-employee relationship. And then, if we've become Christians, we certainly find ourselves in a fifth relationship that I would characterize as pastor and flock, or perhaps better as elder and younger. The relationship between those who God brings into our lives to encourage us and to sometimes chastise us, to disciple us in the Christian faith. And that is a little different from the others, and yet it bears some relationship to them. Those five basic relationships are the authority structures through which God deals with us. And it's interesting to see all five, one over against the other, because they inform each other. What is true of parents and children is somewhat true of husbands and wives. What is true of states and citizens is somewhat true of employers and employees. And so I want to step back a little bit this week and see the forest as well as the individual trees. I think there are some generalizations that we can make, and as we do so, perhaps God is going to genuinely bring some freedom into our lives as we learn to cope with authority, as we learn to relate to authority. Two generalizations that I think are going to emerge as we look at these five relationships. Number one, that in every single case, between the one in authority and the one under authority, there are mutual responsibilities, and yet they're not reciprocal. In other words, my response to you, if we find ourselves in one of these relationships, is not dependent upon your response to me. The one in authority is to behave in a certain way, whether or not the one under authority correspondingly behaves in a godly manner. We'll see how that works out. Secondly, and this is perhaps most important, that authority ends where it disobeys God. Authority ends where it disobeys God. If the one in authority commands what God has forbidden, or forbids what God has commanded, the one under authority doesn't only have the right to disobey, in fact, he has a responsibility to disobey. Because our ultimate authority is God himself. When you understand those things and you see how they apply to these individual relationships, you're going to discover tremendous freedom. Freedom under authority, freedom in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's take a look at how this begins to work out. If you have a Bible there, you might turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Most of these relationships are in fact discussed in this one chapter as well as many other places. Ephesians chapter 6, and we begin with the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then quoting from the Old Testament, in fact from the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. And Paul adds, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's just look at those two statements. The children have a responsibility to their parents, and the parents have a responsibility to their children. Both, for the Christian, are absolute. The children are to obey their parents, whether or not their parents are particularly godly folk, whether or not they are Christian, whether or not they know the Lord. There's a 100% responsibility to the children to honor their parents. It's not dependent upon the parents being honorable. But Paul turns right around and addresses the parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The parents have a responsibility to the children, and they're to exercise that responsibility even when the children are not doing their part of honoring the parents. Do you see what I was saying about that first generalization? Mutual but not reciprocal responsibilities. Mutual, but not reciprocal. It's not dependent upon the response of the other person that I'm to do what God requires of me. What I find most interesting, most important about this first basic authority relationship is that the command is not one that we grow out of, but in a very real sense, one that we grow into. It doesn't say, little children, honor your parents. It says, children, honor your parents. And you know, no matter how old you become, no matter what great achievements you attain within society, no matter what honors are heaped upon you, no matter what authority you exercise in other relationships, you know, you never outgrow being your parents' child. You never outgrow being your parents' child. And so, that commandment continues to apply. I may be the father of many children, and I may have great responsibilities in society, but as far as my folks are concerned, I'm still their son. And I'm still under this commandment to honor them. Now notice that that doesn't necessarily mean to obey. For a little tiny child, obviously, obedience is entailed, and he's going to be punished if he doesn't obey. But as you begin to grow up and you begin to make decisions for yourself, it's not going to be an absolute that obedience to your parents is what is called for. You may have to disagree with them. You may have to make decisions of your own, but you don't outgrow the responsibility to honor them. It occurs to me that it's as we outgrow the necessity of obedience that we begin to enter into the real responsibility to honor. When I was a chaplain in private schools, I remember a young man going off to college who had been one of my students. And he came back after his first semester and he said, "You know, everything's going wonderful except when I occasionally get home for a weekend." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "My folks treat me like I'm a little child. They want to know where I'm going, who I'm with, what time I'm coming in. They're trying to put me under restrictions that I outgrew years ago." I said to him, "Charlie, you understand what's happening. Your parents don't want to lose you. They don't want you to outgrow your relationship with them, and so they're trying to force you back into a relationship which you have begun to outgrow. But Charlie, have you ever thought of this? As you outgrow childish ways of relating to your parents, you've got to find something to replace them with." I said, "Charlie, when's the last time you took your folks out to dinner?" He had never thought of it. It had never crossed his mind. I said, "Charlie, let me suggest that you take your folks out to dinner. Find some adult ways to say to your mom and dad, 'I love you and I honor you.' And as you begin to do that, they're going to ease up on some of the restrictions." Well, he went home for Christmas vacation, and I was anxious to hear how it went. He came back afterward, and I said, "How was it?" He said, "It was awful." I said, "What happened?" He said, "There we were in the middle of the restaurant, and I was paying for this lavish dinner, and my father broke down in tears, and he said, 'He loves us, he loves us.' Made a terrible scene. And yet it was wonderful. Charlie began to learn to honor his parents. And as he did so, he found them relaxing restrictions upon him. You know, there's a fairy tale told about a family that had a grandfather living with them, and they used to prepare a separate meal for him and serve it to him in his room on a card table because his hands shook and he spilled things and he made a terrible mess. And one day this same family noticed their own small son playing with some bits of wood, and they said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm practicing, making a little table for you when I get old and you have to eat alone." Perhaps if you would be the kind of parent whose children find him honorable, God would have you begin by being the kind of child who honors his parents. That's the inside story.